time to talk gadgets with our gadget detective, Fevzy, who has fixed the issues we were having with the ISDN line. Oh, you're a genius. Honestly, the irony. We can't talk to our gadget detective at the moment because we're having technical issues.
I thumped it.
Fantastic. That's always... Have you noticed, though, if anything goes wrong with a computer, you ask somebody, they'll always say, have you tried switching it off? But it really, really irritates me. It's like, yes, no, I've tried that. It's still not working. The thing that's great about you, Fevzy, and you say it yourself, there's no such thing as a stupid question when it comes to technology. And that's what you offer this afternoon, jargon-free advice.
Oh, bless you. But you know what's most true about that is that the people who are maybe a bit shy about ringing up because they think it's a dumb question, those are usually the best questions in that a lot of other people have got those. Not necessarily the person who's had a particular problem and it's just specific to them and no one else can possibly have it and they've been dealing with it for 6 months and, you know, but people who are just a bit shy about coming on, just come on and say hello. I won't bite you. Well, I might, but...
I'll hold him back.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah, any sort of technical question to do with smartphones, laptops, whatever it is, Fevzy is your man. The number 03-459-570057, or you can text your query 81333, start your message with the word radio. Maggie's got in touch from Hove. She says, I'm very angry about a certain mobile service provider. After ringing customer service regarding my mobile, it was suggested by my service provider, why don't you have a tablet? And so they said they would send me one by courier. My fault, I'd not done my research on tablets. So I went with the one I was given and told they would set it up. I took it and did what the shop said, send back the one that they gave me by courier, costing me a lot in postage. I've now ended up with a contract for the tablet I do not want.
Yeah.
No battery, no earphones. They told me I could give it to someone else if I phoned them and they would put the contract in their name.
Oh, that's very big of them.
Sounds
to me, I mean, on the face of it, and obviously there may be another side to this, but it sounds to me as if Maggie has entered into a contract for a device that she didn't know she was entering into a contract. I think she thought they were just sending her another tablet, maybe even, you know, free of charge or as a replacement or goodwill or whatever. With any contract, there has to, I mean, this is a legal point, but there has to be a meeting of minds and there has to be an intention to enter into that contract. If the contract was sold to you over the phone or online, i.e. not with you going into a store, then you do have some automatic rights to cancel that contract, which will include them taking back the tablet. So I believe you don't have to find someone else whose name you can put this into. This is really not your problem. If it's recent, I think you're allowed at least 14 days, it may be longer now under the more recent legislation, just tell them that you didn't intend to enter into a contract, you don't want a contract, and you wish to cancel the contract and have them take it back at their cost. And I really don't think it's down to you. You didn't intend, from the sound of it, Maggie, to enter into a contract, and therefore you know, you have the right to cancel it. I suggest you do so.
Yeah.
And you might just like to add in there the fact that, you know, it might be a training issue for their staff not to sell contracts in a way that people don't know that they're entering
that
they're into
actually
one.
Buying it,
because,
yeah.
I mean, that is arguably mis-selling. So, you know, if Maggie didn't know she was getting a contract, I mean, the rule of thumb is if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That they're trying
no
to lock you.
No such thing as a free tablet.
Well, because the way that contracts work is that a certain amount of what you pay every month is for the service. That's, you know, the minutes if it's a phone, or the data if it's a tablet or a phone. But a certain proportion of what you pay is also effectively, in effect, a higher purchase agreement for the tablet or the phone. And it's often not the best way to buy something. It's good if you don't have the cash to buy a device up front, but it's better to do the research. Maggie mentioned research. Do the research, find out what's going to work well for you, and then if you can, buy it outright, because it will work out cheaper, and then you have a lot more flexibility in terms of the data plans and so forth that you can sign up to. And again, buy with a credit card and do it either online or remotely on a phone. Don't go into a store, because sometimes then you're reliant upon their policies rather than consumer law to protect you.
Yeah, because of course you've got the distance selling regulations and, as you said, all that kind of cooling off period as well. I hope you get that sorted, Maggie. Patrick calls from Ashurst with a question on backing up files. Afternoon, Patrick.
Good afternoon, Alison. How are you?
I'm good. What's the issue?
Well, the issue is that I've been listening to your technical chat for a while over the last few weeks, and I've sort of had a bash at it, but I cannot work out. I've got a remote hard drive on my computer, and what I want to do is to download the contents of the actual computer onto the hard drive and then unplug it so that I've got it safe.
Good,
and it
good
can't
plan.
Be corrupted. That's the idea.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it.
Okay, so there are, Patrick, there are different types of backup that you can do, and there's different amounts of sophistication in the software that can help you do it. Are you a Windows user?
Yes.
Okay, so there is within Windows a backup utility that will enable you to do a basic and, you know, good enough backup in the absence of any specialist software. And there are two types of backup in essence. There are what's called cloning a drive, which makes a mirror image copy of that hard drive in your computer, which is not only your files, your data files, your photos, your music, your documents, but also the whole operating system as well. That's called cloning it. The other way of doing it is to specify the files and folders that you want to back up specifically. So you could say, I want to back up the My Documents folder and make sure that all everything that you create falls within My Documents or a folder within that. So you can use Windows to do it. My recommendation for you would be to use a piece of software, and the best piece of software that I've come across and the one that I personally use, and I've used many and many are good, but the one I choose is from a company called Acronis. It's Acronis. Acronis, and they have some really nice facilities in there. They can do both types of backup. You can schedule the backup so that they happen automatically as well, so you don't need to intervene necessarily. And there is one very unique feature which is really useful if you're going to go to a new computer at some point, is it backs up the machine completely, including the operating system, and then enables you to install it on a completely different computer. And that doesn't sound like a big deal, but when you realize that each computer has files on it which are unique to that computer, the drivers, yes, the ones that are specific to your graphic circuit and your sound circuit and your keyboard and your mouse and all the rest of it, and what this does is very intelligently swaps out the drivers for you and makes it work on the new machine. So if you are what's called migrating from one machine to a new machine, and the new machine is a different model, maybe a different make, that's a really useful way of doing it.
That's the boy I want to take the whole shooting match.
Yeah,
and shove it on my... I've got a remote hard drive.
Yeah.
What I want to do is to clear that off completely. I don't even know what's on it, but it's nothing important. And put the whole shooting match, the operating system and all the files and everything onto that remote disk, and then unplug it.
Unplug it and then store it in a different location.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is if it's sitting next to your laptop and God forbid you have a break-in or a fire, you lose the machine and the backup at the same time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And also, Patrick, I would recommend that, having explained to you the two types of backup, I'd recommend you do both of them. And I tell you why. It's nice to have a complete mirror image copy, because then you can always go back to that if times get very hard and your operating system gets corrupted. But if you do backups of individual files as well, let's say the My Documents folder, the first time you do it, it will back up all the files, and that will take a little bit of time. But the second time you do it, what's called an incremental backup, it will only then have to back up any files that have changed since the last time, which makes doing those sort of regular backups, even on a daily basis, very simple, very quick.
Yes.
So I'd recommend both to you.
Okay.
The other benefit of doing these sorts of backups, and as you say, disconnecting it, is we're seeing more and more data now on the rise of what's called ransomware. So ransomware is a type of malware or virus infection on your computer that silently infects your computer and then scrambles or encrypts all the data, all your data, into a form that you can no longer access it. And then you get a ransom note saying, if you want your files back, which could be, you know, your treasured photos of, you know, long lost loved ones, or it could be your, you know, your manuscript to a play you're writing, or whatever it is, something that's valuable to you, they ransom it back to you. And the only real protection against that is to have a backup that you can restore it to, and then you stick up the appropriate number of fingers at them and say, I've got a backup, and you reinstate your backup. But yeah, for that,
get backing up, Patrick.
That's what I'll do with it. I'll back up the whole shooting match using both programs of this Acronis.
Yeah, both aspects of it. Yeah, it's the same program will do both for you.
Right.
And that's the way I do it. I mean, by all means, look at Windows. But for me, backup is such a critical function that it's you really want the right tools in your toolkit to deal with backups.
Do you know what? I hope that helps, Patrick. I love Patrick's use of technical terms, such as shove the whole shooting match.
I wondered what he was going to say.
Hard drive. I love it.
Yes.
More from Fevzy after the Turtles and Happy Together. Now, though, we're talking gadgets with our gadget detective, Fevzy. Now, Fevzy, do you remember, I think it was last time you were on, actually, we talked to Lynn in Brighton about Windows 10, and her computer had sort of inadvertently upgraded her without her knowledge. And then did you see this news story that Microsoft had to pay out $10,000 to a woman in California after an automatic Windows 10 update basically left her computer unusable.
Quite right too.
I was gonna say, well, Lynn is on the line, Lynn in Brighton, because I understand, Lynn, you're still having issues.
Yes, I am, Alison. Hello, Fevzy.
Hi, Lynn.
I heard that what you said after I'd spoken to Fevzy. You were recalling the conversation with somebody, and I heard what you said about the lady in America, and Fevzy had said that Microsoft were very naughty. So I managed to find a phone number for Microsoft, phoned through, got somebody in Timbuktu that I could hardly understand, explained the problem to her, but she was insistent that I would have to pay two charges for service and subscription, one of £95, the other one of £65. But I, as I said, well, this isn't down to me, this is Microsoft's problem.
Lynn.
But she wouldn't have it.
Lynn, are you certain that you were speaking to Microsoft?
Well, I looked.
It sounds a little bit suspect what you're saying, because I don't recognise those charges, and that's not normally the response that you'd get from Microsoft. The standard response you'd get from Microsoft typically would be to say, well, we gave you every opportunity to opt out of it. It's not our fault if you happened to be sleeping when we upgraded your computer. Well, they won't say those words, but that's essentially the line that they take. They don't generally... Were they saying that you'd need to buy a new licence, or they're saying that this would be the charge for them to reach out to you and fix your computer?
Well, I just from what she was saying, as I said, it was very difficult to understand her. That this was what I would have to pay for them to service and subscribe my...
No. Look, this doesn't sound right to me. This is ringing alarm bells with me, Lynn.
I managed to look up Microsoft.com, and where it says low down, it says contact us, and that's where I got the phone number from.
Okay. I would look for it another way. I mean, it may... Obviously, you've looked for it in a good way, but try and verify that number by looking at other sources of information. Just make sure that you haven't gone to, you know, a web page that you didn't intend to. Because
so easy done, isn't it?
Because
there's so many scam artists out there.
Yeah, and there are sort of fake sites set up that are made to look like, you know, the official sites, and a small misspelling of something of the name will result in you going to a scam site very often. So in any event... I wouldn't be going back to Microsoft to solve this problem. If you're still having issues, regrettably, you know, and you're not able to solve them yourself, and it's not a minor matter to reinstate a computer to its previous state once it's been upgraded, particularly if that process goes wrong, it may be a case of finding an independent local engineer and paying them, you know, something like £50 to do it.
It's finding somebody reliable. I keep asking people if they can recommend somebody, but nobody does.
Yeah, no, it's difficult because there are a lot of people that you know, aren't to be recommended, frankly. It's the same as any other service provider. I mean, one thing I would say to you is it's much better to get a recommendation from a friend or a family member, and even if it's not a professional, maybe, you know, daughters or sons who are, you know, tech savvy, you often get one individual within a family who knows how to do this stuff and will do it for you as a favour. I think that's maybe worthwhile, unless you've got something very valuable on your PC, in which case the other alternative is you can look at local websites, like these sort of trust or whatever, and traders websites, where you can actually look at people in your area who recommend a person. But even with those, you have to be careful, because some of those recommendations can be fake. You need to try and get one that's got a wide range of recommendations that don't all look like they're written by the same person. I know that it is a genuine problem. If you were near me, Lynn, I'd do it for you myself, but it is an issue. But ultimately, I think unless you sue Microsoft, you're not going to get them to pay for this. And that particular woman in the States, she was a businesswoman. She could actually quantify her loss, and it was a significant loss, and Microsoft had no alternative but to pay up. But they're not going to pay up for you unless you force them in the UK, because of the precedent that it may set.
Yeah. Open the floodgates,
I don't want payment. I just want them to put my computer back to how it was.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you're going to need some help doing that, and you need to find, a professional repair and someone. Keep looking for recommendations, and if necessary, use online recommendations. But as I say, what you need to do with those is make sure that those recommendations have been posted over a long period of time, and that they don't, as I say, don't all look like they're written by the same person. But some traders We'll do this. I had this with a building company long ago. They'd been trading for 5 years, and all the referrals, all the recommendations, were posted within the same 6 week period, despite them having been trading all these years. And they looked that there were similar spelling mistakes in them, and the turn of phrase was similar, and you could see that.
Yeah.
And they were all 5-star ratings. Yeah. None of them were 4s or 3s. They were all 5.
Surprise there, right?
Yeah. And I just rang them up and laughed at them and put the phone down. But
Lynn, the main thing is you don't part with any money, okay?
No.
In terms of, phoning Microsoft. I've had a look on the Microsoft official website. I can't actually see any telephone numbers on there.
Well,
I can just see.
Us.
Yeah, I've gone to the contact us, and so I'm wondering whether it was a fake site, maybe that you were on.
I went through Google.
Yeah, but people put fake sites up, don't they, to look like you're looking at a Microsoft site. Mm. Because as far as I can see it, there's just the only way you can contact Microsoft is via email. There is actually on there, I'm looking at it now, a page which says it will fix Microsoft Windows update issues.
Mm.
It says use our Windows update automated troubleshooter. Is that worth Lynn having a go at?
It is, but Lynn, have you got very valuable data on your system, and have you backed that up? Do you have a
No, I haven't backed anything up.
Yeah. See, the problem is the more you fiddle with these tools, and it may work, but the more you try and use those tools, the more likely it is that the data that you've got on there will become irretrievable. And therefore, if the data is valuable, it's probably at this point you cut your losses and try and get someone who knows what they're doing to deal with it, because otherwise you'll lose the data if you haven't already done so.
Lynn, my darling, I want to get this sorted for you. I'm going to pass you back to Olivia. I'm going to give you a call when I'm off air, and we'll have a chat about getting you someone reputable to take a look at that machine, because you can't keep on like this, can you?
No.
And it's... It's a problem, because it's not like, where you have, electricians and gas engineers, there's Gas Safe and then ICEIC.
Yeah.
It's very hard to actually assess who is good at what they do and who is not in the computer sphere.
Yeah, we'll have a chat after falling and get this sorted. We're nearly out of time, Fevzy.
Yes.
Very quickly, we've literally got 2 minutes to talk about your gadget of the week.
Okay, it's from a company called Anker, spelt A-N-K-E-R, and it's in response to this new trend where we get these laptops that are smaller and smaller, these ultra notebooks, and often they come with one port on them. You remember you used to get like loads of connectors on the sides of laptop. Now Apple and others are doing them with one port, one what's called a USB-C port, and you're meant to use that to charge your laptop or plug in a memory stick or attach it to the internet or anything. It's great, you can do all of those things, but it can only do one at a time, and it's a real issue that they've stuck one port on it to make it slim. Anker have produced a device called the Premium premium USB-C hub. It's £40, and what it enables you to do is you connect it to the one port, and then you get a plethora of other ports on it, and it's small. It's about 3.5 inches long, inch wide, and it gives you the port to connect to a big monitor. It gives you USB 3 ports, the standard ones. It allows you to still charge the laptop at the same time as using all these other devices. You know, you spend £1,400 on one of these devices and get it home and find it's got one port. It's a bit like having a nice family car, but you open it and it's got one seat in it. Yeah, it's not ideal.
Not practical. If people have any more questions for you, they can follow you on Twitter.
They can, at Gadget Detective. Come and say hello. Even if you don't have a question, it's always nice to say hello to people. But if you have a question, I'd be happy to try and help you from there.
Brilliant. Fevzi, as always, thank you so much. And we'll chat again in a couple of weeks.